take it he's deleted Conspiracy.
You could say that again.
Have you actually?
I think I can remember it all. Oh, fucking.
Rookie error, not saving it.
Fuck you, I'll do it on the fly.
Fair play.
It'd be interesting.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Co-Conspirators Podcast. Joining me are my co-hosts, John.
Hi, everyone.
And Luke.
Hey.
Before we start, a quick apology for the lack of uploads recently. Sometimes life gets in the way, and we'd rather not rush out a subpar podcast. On to more positive news, we've reached our first milestone, hitting the grand total of 100 subscribers on YouTube. We say this every time, but it's the truth. Our plays on both Anchor and YouTube have surpassed any expectations we've had when we started this, and they continue to grow week by week. Wherever you'd like to listen to your podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple, Google, or YouTube, please subscribe, rate, and comment, and most importantly, spread the word. Now, speaking of spreading the word, finally, I'd like to offer yet another shout-out to our listeners, especially Daddy Benny and his fiancée Michaela, who have been very vocal in their support for the podcast. Now, on to the episode. While politics and conspiracy theories tend to go hand in hand, we've tried not to stray too deep into the muddy waters of political discourse. Until now, that is. With the presidential election debates in full swing, has there been a more appropriate time to wade into one of the most highly charged and divisive political spectacles since, well, I guess you could say, the 2016 US election? Back then, it was Hillary versus Trump, the career politician against a maverick billionaire, the definition of establishment versus anti-establishment. Surely this would have been a walk in the park for someone as experienced as Hillary. To quote Donald Trump in the 2016 debates,
wrong.
In a move that surprised nearly everyone, from the political establishment to the voter base and even Trump himself, if certain conspiracies are to be believed, Donald won a controversial victory by means of the US Electoral College, despite losing the popular vote. Fast forward 4 years and here we are again. In almost a repeat showing of the previous battle, Trump faces up against another establishment Democrat, this time in the form of 78-year-old Joe Biden. Can Sleepy Joe, as Trump calls him, succeed where Hillary failed? America certainly seems to think so, with Biden polling several points ahead of Trump with less than a month to go until voting. Could Biden be the moderate voice that unites the American population, or is he yet another deep state puppet out to serve the interests of big business and lobbyists? Whoever secures the presidency certainly has an uphill battle on their hands in the face of one of the most divisive political climates the country's ever seen. In more recent months, we've seen several shambolic public appearances from both parties, a debate with more interruptions and information, and a potential brush with death when President Trump himself contracted coronavirus. Guess it's funny how the world works sometimes. Maybe karma is real, or it could be the Swiss up to their tricks with the Mandela effect. This leads perfectly onto our theme for this podcast. With so much at stake, it's no surprise that many conspiracy theories have been conjured up in an attempt to expose the darker side of American politics. Can the American democratic process really be trusted, or is everything pre-decided by a shadowy cabal, unseen by the American people, acting out of self-preservation with a complete disregard for the needs of the voters? Kicking things off this week is Luke, who's been investigating a very hot topic.
Yeah, thanks for that, Callum. So I'm going to be looking at postal voting fraud and whether that can actually really shift an election in America. So postal voting is quite popular in America. It's also quite popular here in the UK, and it has actually been subject to fraud in the past. For example, local council elections in Birmingham in the 2000s were found out to be massively swayed by postal voting fraud. So someone had somehow managed to get 1,500 extra votes per ward, which is pretty ridiculous. So each ward had an extra 1,500 votes for a relative party, and that swung the votes in their favour, and they ended up winning the local council elections in Birmingham.
Is this Birmingham, England, or Birmingham, Alabama?
This is Birmingham, England, yeah. So as Callum mentioned, this is pretty topical. We've all heard Trump's claims that postal voting in the United States is vulnerable to fraud. Fraud, of course, that he claims the Republicans would never commit, but those up to no good Democrats would. The Democrats and Joe Biden have said that this fraud is impossible and unfeasible. However, even heavily pro-Democrat media have admitted the system is a farce. So due to, obviously, the current coronavirus pandemic, more Americans than ever are planning to vote by post. According to a recent survey by the Democracy Fund and UCLA Nationscape Project, 37% of registered voters are planning to cast their ballot through the post, ensuring a socially distant process. However, the same survey found more Democrat voters plan to vote by mail than Republican, 48% for Democrats and 23% for Republican. This big difference is largely due to Trump urging Republicans to vote in person due to the potential fraud from the Democrats in the postal vote. However, at the same time, there are also signs the US Postal Service will struggle to cope with the avalanche of election ballots.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So surely what's to stop the Republicans or Trump himself also instructing some, I don't know, lackeys to just seize a load of votes and ballots that are likely to be Democrats in Democrat-run areas if they're going by the post?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I don't see how it favours one side.
I think the thing is, it's always been seen as a Democrat problem, postal voting fraud. Trump's obviously feels that way, and he's heavily warning people not to vote by post. I don't actually know the history behind that, but kind of seen as something that the Republicans won't do and the Democrats will, which is why Trump's urged Republican voters to get themselves down to the station. It just seems like undeterminedly decided that that's the case.
He's just basically won the spin war of it. He's managed to spin it in a way that favours him, just in case he's got something to scapegoat if things go wrong. It's an instant get out or not get out of jail card, because it seems like if he gets unelected, he'll be off there at least to several court cases, if reports are to be believed.
I think as well it's potentially because I think Biden has been urging people to vote by post just because of coronavirus and stuff. So obviously Trump's then gone, oh, you're urging people to vote by post, have you got trick up your sleeve, are you planning on fraud or whatever? And then he's gone on the defensive, and it's just kind of spiraled from there. So actually at the end of July, the US Postal Service wrote to 46 states warning it can't guarantee that all mailed-in ballots will arrive in time to be counted, which would render them invalid and disenfranchise a large chunk of the electorate. So if 48% of Democrats versus 23% of Republicans plan to vote by post, you can see why Trump is urging people to turn up at polls, which is actually kind of ironic considering he submits his vote in Florida by post. He's even been accused by the Democrats of purposely slowing down the postal system by blocking an injection of $25 billion in emergency funds, plus an extra $3.6 billion to help it get through the election.
Yeah, I saw something about that recently. I think the person who's been appointed as the head of the Postal Service, I'm not sure how correct my information is a big Trump supporter as well, blocking overtime and things like that.
Well, I mean, if you've got like double the amount of Republicans who are willing to vote in person, then I mean, you have absolutely no incentive to help the US Postal Service get through the election. I mean, especially when if the ballots don't arrive in time, they don't get counted. So it seems pretty crazy that the system can be like that, but it's not very democratic, put it that way.
I heard something about the way they're counting it this time, though, that they're going to be counting it over a number of weeks rather than just like on that one night. So I don't know whether that's to do with the Postal Service.
I mean, I don't know, but I think at the same time, it still has to arrive by a certain time. Otherwise, you're like, oh, yeah, where have these come from? Like, this could have just been posted like 3 days later or whatever. I mean, like in the UK, for example, any ballots have to be there at a certain time. Otherwise, they don't get counted, just because, I mean, you have to have a draw off and it allows no time to tamper with it.
Is that not a little bit of a risk if you're very much politically switched on? You've already cast your vote, but your candidate has a massive gaffe that basically causes you to decide, I don't want to vote for them anymore, but you can't change your vote. So a bit of a risk anyway. So you could try and spin it that way and say, don't vote for the public in case Joe Biden does something that you don't like, which is quite likely knowing Joe Biden.
Yeah, but even if he did, how bad would it have to be for someone who was going to vote Biden to then vote Trump? It'd have to be a serious gap. Yeah,
especially some of the allegations he's already been accused of.
Yeah, they're just going under the radar.
Well, basically, it seems like Twitter and Facebook are managing to brush those under the carpet. I think his supporters are sort of willing to turn a blind eye or easily enabled in their turning of the blind eye.
Yeah, and in terms of this whole postal system not being able to cope and Trump refusing to help fund it, Democrat voters have cottoned onto this and are spreading advice over social media to vote in person as well, if possible. So, that could get the numbers back into a more equal position between Democrats and Republicans who are voting in person.
I suppose let's not forget as well that even voting in person isn't exactly secure. No matter how much you trust the democratic process, it's still open to being tampered with.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, votes and everything. I think that's definitely a story, an extra story for another day. I would say that postal fraud is definitely more likely to be tampered with, but there's nothing to stop going in person and that being tampered with as well.
So you can do it all electronically, can have people hacking into the system and what have
So the question is really, is postal fraud in the US actually feasible? As I mentioned, Biden says it's not. Trump obviously says it is. And kind of both sides of the media, pro-Democrat and pro-Republican, do say it is feasible. But to answer it properly, a bit of background into how the US voting system works is needed, which is one of the most unique and, in my eyes, strange voting systems in the world. So many of you might already know this. Personally, I didn't know it in too much detail, but the system for electing the president, which was actually handed down from the founding fathers, so arguably a bit outdated and has never ever been copied, is often a two-man or woman contest by a method which can and often does see the election of someone who receives a minority of the popular vote which is slightly ironic for such a passionately democratic country. So each state votes to elect delegates to an electoral college, the number of delegates being proportionate to the population of the state, and then the college then elects the president. So victory for a candidate in a state, even if only by one vote, usually secures all the delegates for that state. Hence the likelihood of disparity between the national popular vote and the lineup of delegates to the college. A lot of people oppose the electoral college as they believe it can often give traditionally Republican states a lot of power. Take, for example, Texas. It's got a lot of delegates in the electoral college, I believe, and I think historically has always voted Republican.
Yeah, I'd be very worried. I say worried. I'd be very, very surprised if a Texas was ever to vote Democrat.
Well, I think they wanted Bernie Sanders, didn't they?
Take their guns away.
So in the UK, for a bit of comparison, it's postal voting on demand. So you actually have to physically register for a postal vote. And traditionally, you only really use this if you have no other option. So you can't turn up in person. However, in at least four states in America, every registered elector is sent a postal vote, whether they ask for it or not. And also in the US, vote harvesting exists. And this is where community organizations collect and deliver sealed ballots. So, you know, you've got these community organizations, they could have any political belief they want, and they're the ones collecting and delivering sealed ballots. I mean, it's not secure, they can tamper with it. And I'd be very surprised if that doesn't happen.
So the ones with the Trump flags is going straight in the bin outside the house.
Yeah. And then also in the UK, there is arguably sensible rule that I've mentioned before that in order to count a postal ballot, it must reach the returning office by close of poll, which is usually 10 p.m. However, in the US, votes are counted if they appear to be postmarked before close of poll. So again, you can see potential tampering there, like just changing or stamping an earlier time and an earlier date and just chucking a load of votes on it, really. Likewise, the low postal vote percentage in the UK makes it easy to check and safeguard, although it is obviously not free from fraud, as I mentioned the Birmingham council elections earlier. Also, if you turn up in the UK in person, you need clear forms of ID. And if you vote postally, your records will be cross-checked, which is easily done as not that many people vote postally. Comparatively, in the past, America has had big issues with not allowing certain people to register to vote. I mean, there was big issues in the past with black people not being allowed to register to vote, you know, even when legally they were allowed to register to
that
vote.
That is massive. The state of that.
Yeah, they were just being denied the right to vote. And I mean, as such, now they can ease on the side of welcoming as many people to register as possible. And with each state deciding its own methods of voting, safeguarding and checks can differ across state border, meaning potential fraud is easier in one state than another. And then also on top of that, the state Supreme Court is the one that decides whether fraud has been committed or not. And this is the same state Supreme Court that is picked by the people who win the election. Like, I'm sure you can both see a bit of an issue there.
Mm. Yeah, there's a bit of controversy with the current or the most recent inductee to the state court as well, which...
It's just crazy. The people who decided there's an election fraud are the people who won the election. Obviously, in other countries, this decision would lie with a non-political independent court. For example, when the postal fraud was committed in the Birmingham elections, it was decided upon by an independent court who found them guilty.
It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy there.
So could postal fraud actually make a difference in the grand scheme of things? So if the presidential election were a first-past-the-post popular vote, significant fraud would be incredibly difficult and large numbers of falsified votes would be needed. You can imagine like a close election would probably have like 500,000 votes on the national scale. And I mean, that would mean you'd have to falsify over 500,000 votes, which is nigh on impossible. However, in the states, the election will turn on swing states, which will often come down to votes in smaller voting districts. There was obviously a case a few years back with the disputed votes in a small number of districts in Florida, which amounted to no more than a few hundred votes. But that ended up giving victory in the overall election to George Bush. So well-targeted local fraud could definitely sway this election, especially in the swing states, as mentioned. So yeah, that's it from me. Like, what do you guys think about postal fraud? Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's happened in the past? Do you think there's a chance it's going to happen in the election coming up?
I'll start by saying it's a massive can of worms. There's so many different possibilities given the way the American voting system is set up. You can argue, yes, it's been carried down from the founding fathers. It probably was set out with good intentions to ensure that even smaller areas get a fair representation on the national scale. But the fact it hasn't really changed since then and has led to all of these possible ways it could be manipulated for certain favours to seem a little bit counterintuitive for a country that, like you said, believes so strongly in democracy.
Yeah, it's just very counterintuitive that they're so passionate about democracy, but then the president can lose the popular vote and often does.
That's how you saw it with Trump the last election. But then again, you can also go on the flip side of another conspiracy that the two-party system and everything in America is just a front, and elections are decided way in advance, and all of the spectacle and carry on is just to manipulate the people into thinking they have a choice, when really it's the powers that be that decide the president, who just operates as a puppet for them. And that's, might touch on this later in the episode, you never know.
I mean, it's definitely an interesting thought, because even if that's not a conspiracy, you know, there's certain lobbyists and certain companies that will arguably have power over whoever's in charge, like the NRA.
Yeah.
Obama obviously would have wanted to change gun laws in some respects, but I mean, the NRA is just too powerful and he physically couldn't do it. So there will always be certain policies, no matter what, no matter who's in charge.
Yeah, it's all the same as Trump and the evangelical Christians, that he's clearly aligning himself to secure their vote. I don't think he actually believes some of the stuff that they do.
You gotta do what you gotta do, really.
It's just, I've never seen politics be so heavily charged as it is in America. The fanboy, especially on the Trump side, wearing his merchandise at all times with flags in their front gardens, pickup trucks emblazoned with stickers. It just seems like levels of support. Like football teams over here has more support.
Probably never read the manifesto either, but
you know. I know. It's just as long as they're not Democrat, as long as they don't take the gun.
Well, they can't do that anyway.
Suppose in back to onto the issue, I think there's, as you've mentioned, there's been a couple of incidences where it has just taken a few votes to swing the election, especially with the electorate, is it the delegate system?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you always talk of Florida as a huge swing state. I think, as mentioned, George Bush won by a few hundred votes in Florida, essentially. And then in the last election, it didn't cause an overall win, but there was one district in Florida which was literally single figures votes in favor of Trump over Hillary, well, in favor of Republicans over Democrats. So, you know, if you were to falsify 12 votes, there you go. There's a swing there and could shift the election.
But again, on the flip side, sometimes elections can just turn out like that. It can just be a few votes that decide it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Which is where this fraud is going to be most evident, because if you're expecting, you know, a certain town is going to be that close, you chuck in a few extra votes, take a few extra votes away, like even only 20, and you can have yourself a win.
Yeah, it'd be a bit different if it's suddenly a huge landslide in one favor, then you could start looking, this deck happy they've been throwing votes away.
But, yeah.
But all these things that you have to take into account to even suggest or to try and provide a concrete answer whether it has happened and is going to happen in this election, this gets a solid, it's like 9 out of 10 on the conspiracy front. It's really interesting. I've never fully understood the American political system.
Yeah, I mean, given you've got these kind of community organizations that will collect the votes, all it takes is like one of them in the entire country to be a bit dodgy, which, I mean, in any country, that's going to be the case. There's a group, always going to be a group of people that are dodgy, and there you go, you've got fraud in some sense.
Exactly. So you can't, so no person is truly impartial, even say people who are supposedly collecting the votes, especially if they're community leaders and certain communities have certain ideologies, that, you know, not everyone can, say, take the moral high ground, you think, for lack of a better phrase. So I think for believability, it's a tough one. If you don't want to think that democracy is threatened, but the reality is, there's a good chance it is, because you think, look at other countries that are described as less democratic than America. You see how many times elections have been rigged in these places, how easy they make it seem. And even more developed countries like, say, Russia, I mean, it's almost blatantly obvious that Putin's rigging elections, if you believe what the media is saying, how he wins by a landslide every year and is able to lock up his opposing candidate. And you think of a potential Russian influence over America, maybe Putin's passed off a few tricks onto Trump and he's played the spin war, but he's actually planning on manipulating the mail-in votes for his personal gain.
Yeah, I mean, even the Democratic Republic of North Korea is being accused of fraud.
that's in the name. How dare they?
How can they have the audacity to do that? How can you have the audacity to call your country the Democratic Republic when there's literally no voting system?
I think it's just in name only to try and give a semblance of legitimacy to you.
I mean, that is a case of like flaunting it in everyone's face, right?
They've just done it for a laugh, haven't they?
Yeah.
Think of the Democratic Republic of Congo place.
I mean, China's called People's Republic as well, isn't it?
Mm.
But yeah, I think, I don't want to be boring, but I'm going to have to go, it's so hard to call. I'm going to do right in the middle. I'm going to go for a 5 out of 10 on believability, because there's certainly the potential there. There's several different means with which it could be carried out.
Thanks, yeah. Callum. What about yourself, John?
Yeah, so, I mean, the overall theory, it's really interesting. I think the prospect of faking election, it's not even, as you touched on with, like, Birmingham, it's not even really conspiracy theory territory. It's something that could well be very real and have a huge impact on the future of massive nations. So for the overall conspiracy theory, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10, the overall theory. I think it's really interesting and the different ways you might do it and all this kind of stuff. For believability, I think I've got to go high because, like you say, it's happened before. There's Trump himself seems very worried about the prospect of the postal votes being tampered with. I think logistically, there's obviously would be a few problems with it just because if you wanted to swing your state's election one way, one person alone couldn't do that. You'd need a collaboration of a group and they'd all need to be on the same side. Not saying it's impossible, but I could see how there'd be hurdles because you just ask the wrong person to help and then suddenly they kind of whistle blow and then it's all up in the air and your whole election could get cancelled or you don't know what the consequences could be. So
That's all right.
I think the thing with that
is it's all right though. If you just give them a secret handshake and you'll be able to know if you have to pose a question.
Yeah, as well, I think on that point, I guess the people who are actually, because each state has its own kind of safety checks and how they like prove that you're really a person, because obviously postal voting can take place by people making up names and stuff like that. So, I mean, the people who decide the safety checks are arguably the people in power right now. So they might be willing to go and let like loads of randomers sign up.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's just strange how they're not cross-checked or subject to more cross-checking. I was like, you create a load of different names from, say, your house, say, 10 votes from your house, and have a few players in the neighbourhood do that when in reality you're all a bunch of one-person flat, and you're halfway in your way. That's a magical big
I think company. It'd take too long, wouldn't it?
You know Covent Garden in London?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's like one small office in Covent Garden, London, and it's got about 10,000 companies registered to that office's address. Because like you can pay like a certain amount. It's not that much. And then you get given that address. So the company who actually owns that address have just sold the rights to like little bits of that office. So, for example, I got done by it. I booked like a cleaning thing and it was like the offices in Covent Garden. So I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. Like, it's clearly a well-known company. It's offices in Covent Garden. Turned out they own like a centimetre of a carpet. They said that as their address, but...
Date of that.
That's literal postal fraud, isn't it? So, yeah, so believability. I think it's inevitable there'll be some sort of tampering. You know, the exact numbers that we get given won't be the exact numbers that were sent out for a vote, just because things always get lost, and then I'm sure people always like you can read it wrong or whatever, and I'm sure there will be a few sly vote counters who turn a blind eye when they see it's stamped with a Joe Biden face in the top corner. but I think for it to be enough to sway the whole election, it would have to be a pretty grand operation, even in a swing state. So I think believability that there will be some sort of meddling in the votes, I'd go like a 8 out of 10. I think that the election would be won or lost based purely on the kind of meddling of votes, I'd have to go a bit lower. I think I'll go for a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think you'd have to get really lucky. First of all, the election would literally have to be decided on like one or two states. And then you'd also kind of have to guess like the district within the state that's going to only have a few hundred votes in it and then target that area. So it's hard to do to actually gain anything from it. But I think I agree with John in that some meddling of some kind is actually very likely to happen. So in that sense, I'm going to score it quite highly as well. I'm going to go for an 8.5 out of 10 that some kind of vote meddling will happen. Because I mean, like, even me or you could do that if we wanted to. So some meddling can definitely happen. You know, I was out in America for a bit. I can register myself to vote, no doubt, in some way. And someone cross-checks it, they'll see that I live there once upon a time. So I can get my votes in. But yeah, I think it's very hard and very unlikely to sway the actual vote. As mentioned earlier, for the Birmingham one to be swayed, they had to get an extra 1,500 votes in each ward, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, I have no idea how they managed to do that and go unnoticed at the time. So fair play to them for that. I've got nothing but respect. if you do win an election like that, graft pays off, I think. You deserve it. But yeah, it was an interesting one for sure. But so you got a conspiracy for us then, Cam?
I do indeed. So I'll buckle up for this one, I think. So I'll start by saying, just like his shadow, controversy follows Donald Trump wherever he goes. And like the president, my conspiracy theory has been making the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Before I begin to explain why, I'll pose you guys a question. Does the word QAnon mean anything to you?
I mean, I've heard of it, but I'm really not too aware of what it actually is.
Same here.
Good, good. You're about to have your minds blown if you're inclined to believe conspiracy theories. So in short, QAnon refers to a conspiracy theory alleging that a cabal of Satan-worshipping paedophiles is running a global child sex trafficking ring that and plotting against Donald Trump, who is battling against the cabal, and that Trump is planning a day of reckoning known as the Storm, in which thousands of members of the cabal will be arrested, including Hillary Clinton. Wikipedia follows this definition by stating that no part of this theory is based on fact, but let us be the judge of that. Naturally, this theory was concocted by the far right and draws a striking resemblance to the Pizzagate scandal that arose around the time of the 2016 US election. At the time, Pizzagate centered around leaked emails from John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, which theorists thought contained coded messages that connected several high-ranking Democratic Party officials and US restaurants with alleged human trafficking and child sex rings. One such location was the Comet Ping Pong Pizzeria. in Washington, D.C., which proponents believed was a location for satanic rituals carried out by members of the organization. Most of the so-called evidence linking the pizzeria to child sex trafficking appears to be highly circumstantial, such as owner James Alefantis wearing a shirt that said Je Heart L'Enfant, which roughly translated from French means I love children.
What?
I mean, to be fair, it could just be totally innocent. I mean, I like children. Not in that way, but
exactly.
I can't imagine what the meeting was like when they're like, just imagine them all like wearing like their hoods in like a lit room, like the Illuminati meeting. Like, right, where should we have our next child trafficking meeting? Ping pong pizza.
To be fair, no one would expect that. They'd expect it to be like a really secretive place.
They have a good margarita as well to top things off.
Disguised in plain sight.
So just briefly, back to the Je Heart L'Enfant shirt. It's actually a reference to L'Enfant Bar in Washington, D.C., which itself was named after Pierre-Charles L'Enfant, the designer of much of the layout of Washington, D.C. So definitely an innocent explanation there. And I doubt any known paedophile or anyone associated with satanic cult would be wearing a shirt that openly displays their allegiances.
Right, it was in code. It was in French.
Yes, a well-known code French. So while nobody has directly come forward as victims of Pizzagate, it has begun to transcend the political divide, being pushed by young people across the world through TikTok and other social media platforms. People believe that many famous celebrities like our friend Bill Gates, Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah Winfrey, and Chrissy Teigen will be implicated as part of a global sex trafficking organization. In fact, Justin Bieber's 2020 song, Yummy, was alleged to be about the conspiracy theory and rekindled support for the theory during the year. However, enough with the context, let's get back to QAnon, which remains firmly focused on Donald Trump's battle against the deep state and political elite and their so-called satanic tendencies.
So it's the idea that Donald Trump is like the good guy in all this?
Essentially, yes. He's our savior, meant to right the American political system, drain the swamp, etc., etc.
There is one thing that casts a bit of doubt over that.
Go on.
Well, he's listed in Epstein's black book.
Oh, that's just semantics.
Maybe he's just scoping it out, get the names from the
inside. Yeah, he was deep undercover.
Yeah.
So just any ideas where this theory might have sprung up from? Given what I've displayed and its political leanings.
4chan.
Right in one. So for those of you who don't know what 4chan is, it's a popular online forum that's been accused of harbouring far-right viewpoints and has been the catalyst for numerous conspiracy theories. In October 2017, an anonymous user left a series of posts under the pseudonym Q, claiming to have a level of US security known as Q clearances, or clearance. These messages began known as breadcrumbs, often written in cryptic language, peppered with slogans, pledges and pro-Trump themes. Remember the Robert Mueller investigation into Trump's political possible collusion with Russia? Well, QAnon believes that Trump feigned conspiracy with Russia to enlist Mueller to join him in exposing the sex trafficking ring and preventing a coup d'etat by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton and George Soros. So at the moment, it does seem just lump any high-profile political donor figure all into one and just throw it at the wall and see what sticks with regards to a crusade against President Trump. And this theme continues with other claims contained within the Q drops, including allegations that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un was installed by the CIA as a puppet ruler and that German Chancellor Angela Merkel was Adolf Hitler's granddaughter.
I've heard that one before.
That's a classic one.
Has she got any Argentinian blood in her? So pretty believable stuff so far, right? I suppose one of the more enduring allegations included within the QAnon conspiracy is that certain Hollywood stars are paedophiles and that the Rothschild family leads the satanic cult. This is where the Pizzagate parallels have been drawn, but these allegations and rumours have circulated since the 70s. Given the anonymous nature of forums like 4chan, it's very difficult to identify the individual or individuals behind the Q moniker. While posters can use a trip code as a form of consistent identification while still remaining anonymous, like the Q tag, this trip code has changed multiple times, suggesting that several individuals are trying to capitalise on the hype generated by the first Q drops. Certain followers believe that Q is actually John F. Kennedy, who faked his death in 1964 and is now posting information to help President Trump.
Well, fair play. If he's, how old would he be?
Old, I think he's the right.
He's old.
Wait, he's still logging onto 4chan.
Yeah, dropping loads of
love the Pepe the Frog meme.
He's like, for fuck's sake, guys, stop posting Pepe. I'm just trying to give you some fucking information.
Use this information and stop memeing it. Well, interestingly, the phrase adopted by the QAnon followers as their sort of war slogan, which is "Where we go one, we go all," was written on a bell found on Kennedy's sailboat and has been used deliberately or inadvertently by several of President Trump's aides, including the former Lieutenant General and National Security Advisor Mike Flynn and Trump's son Eric. I didn't expect to reference my conspiracy from last week so soon after, I say last week, from the last podcast so soon after, but the theories and individuals who support the allegations involved with QAnon have also been the subject of much psychological analysis. For those who haven't listened to our Science Conspiracies episode, I discussed the psychology behind people's belief in conspiracies, which rightly or wrongly allege that people who actively support conspiracy theories are more likely to be socially isolated, lacking in agreeability, and prone to narcissism. Perhaps unsurprisingly, given the controversy contained within the QAnon files, this analysis carries over once more, with experts deeming QAnon's appeal to that of a religious cult. It has been described as being as addictive as a video game, where the player solves clues in the form of cue drops, giving them the impression that they're marking their place in history as part of a political and cultural revolution. Naturally, these individuals have been diagnosed as being plagued with feelings of isolation that can cause them to become disillusioned with the theory or to double down on their beliefs. On the theme of disillusion, this disillusionment can come in the form of incorrect predictions, of which the QAnon theory has produced many. As a cover, though, on multiple occasions, Q has dismissed their false claims and incorrect predictions as deliberate, claiming that disinformation is necessary.
Oh, that's such a classic get out of jail.
I know, it's not like the ultimate cop-out.
It's like when the teacher fucks up in school and they're just like, you know, I threw that mistake in deliberately to try and see if you'd spot it.
No, yeah.
Laziness. This has led Australian psychologist Stephen Lewandowski, no relation to Robert, prolific Polish writer, to emphasise the self-sealing quality of the conspiracy theory, highlighting its anonymous purveyor's use of plausible deniability, we just mentioned, and noting that evidence against the theory can become evidence of its validity in the minds of believers. Author Walter Kern has described Q as an innovator among conspiracy theorists by enthralling readers with clues rather than presenting claims directly. He's quoted as saying, "The audience for internet narratives doesn't want to read, it wants to write. It doesn't want answers provided, it wants to search for them." So it does seem like, especially in this case, while the Q drops have existed, its supporters have gone wild with them and taken them to the furthest possible reaches of the political discourse. Basically extrapolated a lot of meaning where, given the vagueness of the clues, you could probably try and link a few coincidences here and there and think, yes, I've got a definitely solid conspiracy theory. So what does Donald Trump think of all this, given that he has been selected as the spearhead for a day of reckoning, known as the Great Awakening? Data analysis has revealed that Trump has tweeted QAnon-related content over 200 times, which could fuel the conspiracy that he is the so-called chosen one destined to expose the paedophile elite.
What do you mean he's tweeted QAnon content? Has he actually addressed it in these tweets?
Well, I think it's from, he likes to retweet anything praising him, and many members associated with QAnon have praised Trump in the past, whether it be posting articles, etc. So data analysis has linked these articles and posted these articles to the QAnon, which Trump has tweeted. So they describe it as almost indirect endorsement of the QAnon conspiracy theory.
Hopefully on the Great Awakening, when he exposes everything to the world, he's also going to, you know, expose Area 51 and let us know if aliens actually exist or not.
Yeah, that's the next step in his master plan. Unfortunately, aliens don't really seem to be front and center, despite the whole lizard people argument that David Icke has championed over the years. But interestingly, for John's question, on the 19th of August 2020, Trump was asked about the movement, but like all politicians, he appeared to play coy, stating, "I don't know very much about the movement, other than I understand that they like me very much, which I appreciate, but I don't know about the movement." This was then followed by another question asking if he could support a conspiracy theory claiming he was secretly saving the world from a satanic cult of paedophiles and cannibals, to which Trump responded saying, "Well, I haven't heard that, but is that supposed to be a good thing or a bad thing?" So I guess better turn the question back on the reporter to say, is it a bad thing that I'm exposing paedophiles and Satanists? But I think, suppose you can believe Trump when he says he's not entirely aware of what's going on, given how much information is shoved at him on a day-to-day basis. But there's no doubt he will have been briefed, I think, about how it could be potentially dangerous to directly endorse it just because of his link to far-right sympathisers. That's not going to be a very good look in Congress. Mention of the QAnon conspiracy in Congress has led it to be deemed a terrorist threat by the FBI, and it's got a very bad rap in Congress, as many conspiracy theorists have, or conspiracy theories. Regardless, though, given the nature of the internet, it's no surprise that the QAnon conspiracy isn't exactly cut and dry, despite garnering massive amounts of traffic and thousands of online soldiers ready to carry out President Trump's every bidding, preparing for the coming storm and Great Awakening. The allegations, while shocking, lack sufficient evidence to truly implicate individuals like Hillary Clinton and George Soros, regardless of the so-called coded messages they claim to have uncovered. Nevertheless, it has generated enough traction to make the subject of numerous hit pieces by mainstream media outlets. Blaming mainstream media. Basically, mainstream media is up to no good, as per usual, in the eyes of conspiracy theorists. Facebook and Twitter has banned thousands of accounts on the basis of fake news and the potential to cause harm, linked to QAnon. Theorists would naturally argue that this is all part of a grand cover-up to maintain the Hollywood facade. But what do you guys think? Is Trump really a divine force sent by God to clean up Hollywood and US politics once and for all?
The thing with this is, if Trump even, like, you know, came out and said this in 2020, I'm not even sure I'd believe. Just think, yeah, he's a nutter. fair enough.
It wouldn't look very far out of place for a Donald Trump tweet, given some of the things.
No, it wouldn't at all.
I am the great ruler sent by God to drain the swamp and to cleanse Hollywood. I mean, that he's just supposed to be eating that up and be laughing it up.
Yeah, I mean, the theory as a whole is crazy, to be honest. You know, the idea that Donald Trump is basically the messiah, and, you know, JFK's posing on 4chan. I mean, it's got a lot of different angles to it. I feel like it's a classic case, and we've mentioned this before, where, like, I guess it gets ruined. Like, the original Q drops sound like, you know, they could be relatively realistic, but then you've got, like, other people who've come out and tried to imitate it when, you know, they've got no information. And I mean, you've also got other people saying it's actually JFK, and that's when it all just starts to get a bit stupid and unbelievable. It's a difficult one. As a theory as a whole, it's definitely going to score highly. Its impact, if it was true, would be huge. And, you know, the fact that Donald Trump is the savior is kind of ironic in a way. So I'm going to score it a 9 out of 10. In terms of believability, I mean, the thing is with stuff like this is, you wouldn't say it's that unbelievable that there's kind of this elite network of people that are doing all this, like, horrible stuff, and they're the people in power. It's a very wide theory that you see crop up time and time again.
Yeah, it's almost a theory that refuses to go away, no matter who's in power.
See that thing, it was scored relatively high, but then when you throw in the fact that Donald Trump is the savior and he's going to expose it all, that's when it starts to get a bit less believable for me. Because, I mean, as John mentioned, there's a big kind of elephant in the room that he was definitely involved in some way or another with Jeffrey Epstein.
There have been numerous allegations against Trump, not just from Epstein.
Yeah, so if anything, he'd probably argue that he's part of this ring and someone needs to expose
double agent,
him.
Perhaps.
So, well, you never know. I mean, it would be pretty funny if on his last day of office, he just comes out and says this stuff, and I mean, no one would believe him, but, you know, it'd be interesting. So I'm going to score it quite low. I'm going to go for a 2.5 out of 10, I'm afraid.
No, that's completely understandable. What about you, John?
Overall, it's kind of got everything, hasn't it, as a theory. Got the whole, this group of elite devil worshippers and paedophiles or whatever running the world. That's always a classic. There's always a good base. And then you add in Donald Trump being this sort of leader of, exactly, playing like a Severus Snape role. And then you get the fact that it started on 4chan, and then JFK was provided the initial information. It's got everything. I suppose you could almost make the case it's that mental, you couldn't have made it up. So I don't know, maybe that gives it a bit of weight. I think as an overall theory, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. believability wise, I think, I mean, as much as Epstein's kind of blown the lid on a hell of a lot of kind of darker inner workings, perhaps, of high society, and I think there certainly is something in that which gives us a bit more believability. I think the fact that I feel like Donald Trump, if he had this information, he might have already kind of drip fed some of it out or made an announcement, or maybe if he loses the election, he'll do it then.
Maybe he's been trying, but it's just been blocked due to like the way the American courts and stuff work. And I mean, Democrats running the House or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, he could just shout it at one of his rallies.
He actually sent it in the post.
I believe believability-wise, I'm struggling to give it particularly high. Just because of the whole, it started on 4chan and it's got some aspects to it that just seem a bit too ludicrous. But there may be something in it that there's a group of people who are, you know, trying to put a stop to all the Pizzagate-like activities, and it's obviously not a bad thing. So maybe Donald Trump is this hero that we all need. But I think believability-wise, I'm going to be generous and give it a 3.
Oh, that's very generous indeed. As you were mentioning Epstein, and now I think by default you say Maxwell is probably the one taking the fall. That seems to have gone massively off the radar recently. So maybe there is coup in place to try and shuffle that off with some different controversies run by the global elites. That is definitely a conspiracy that refuses to go away, no matter who's in power. And there will always be accusations of the puppets from behind the scenes pulling the strings. And then that, of course, gets drawn into the whole allegations of Satanism, cannibalism, dark rituals, etc., etc. But it is sort of, I don't know, there are several people in positions of power that have been exposed for paedophilia, so you don't know how far these things go. I think it was you, John, that mentioned as a theory that people in for positions of power are chosen because they're paedophiles. They've got something that's held over like them if they mess up.
It does kind of make sense, because it means you can be controlled a lot more easily.
Yeah, there's just an uncomfortable correlation between accusations of paedophilia and politicians. But that's an issue for another time. Let's get back to Donald Trump and his divine crusade against the dark and degenerate swamp that is American politics. It does sound all very much like it would make a brilliant film if you could somehow get all the pieces together. All these anonymous information drops being leaked from rumour from Q clearance levels of American security. People seizing upon them, spreading the word, waiting for the day of reckoning where Trump comes down from the skies to just wreak havoc on the American politics as we know. Sending Hillary to jail, finally. Along with George Soros, the Rothschilds, etc. Everyone who's stood against him in any way, shape or form. But as we said, it started on 4chan. That's just where it falls down instantly, given that it's just anonymous. Anyone could pretend to be Q. And that's basically what seems to have happened. Like the first ones, few crumbs of information that were legitimate, just got completely diluted when people tried to extrapolate more and more extravagant theories. But as the overall conspiracy goes, it's a solid 8.5 out of 10 from me. Sort of ties the old and the new in a way that sense that, yes, there's satanic elites, but we also do it on the new way. We're doing it through memes and stuff like that. But the believability is a major stumbling block. The fact that some people genuinely believe that JF Kennedy has faked his own death despite being seen to be shot in the head.
JF Kennedy, I've never heard of
that. That's how he's got naming himself now since his faked death.
You've mixed his name, yeah.
Kennedy. Yeah, how people genuinely believe that he is the one dropping these bits of information. He somehow found himself deep undercover in the White House security meetings or what have you. But it's not beyond the realms of possibility that some of these little crumbs of information at the start could have been genuine truth. But when nothing really came of them, and maybe Trump was unable to take action because his hands are tied politically, maybe they've got some dirt on him, hence the Jeffrey Epstein Black Book allegations. But it's really hard to give this one a high believability. But yeah, say John's generous 3. I'll drop down slightly, but I'll go for a 2.5 as well, I think, just because it's just ludicrous when you think about putting it on paper, trying to write down the fact that so many things haven't come true, falling back and always misinformation. It's an interesting concept, but I think it's a concept at that. And to suggest that Trump is the one to be our savior is a very worrying scenario, no matter what your political leanings are. And now with our final conspiracy, here's John to tell us about one of America's biggest political players.
Damn right, Callum. As we've kind of touched on already, and I'm sure almost everyone alive is already aware, 2016 saw arguably the most high-profile, entertaining and shocking election campaign and result in the US history. Republican Donald Trump narrowly defeated the Democrat leader Hillary Clinton. Now, Trump is obviously incredibly controversial and divisive, but his opponent Clinton has her own fair share of controversies in her past and in her present, such as theories surrounding the Clinton body count and the deletion of scandalous private emails in the build-up to the election. These are topics that we may touch on at a later date or in a part two. But in this episode, I'm going to focus on a slightly less well-known one and a bit more outlandish as well. And this is the theory that Hillary Clinton may have actually used a clone, a body double, or even a cyborg to replace her at numerous public events during the 2016 election campaign.
I thought you said this was supposed to be outlandish, and pretty much everyone knows that.
Outlandish for any conspiracy noobs. Okay, so in September 2016, Clinton collapsed at a 9/11 ceremony in New York, and it made global headlines and fueled rumours about her health. A major aspect of these rumours were the claims that the then 68-year-old Hillary was actually using a body double where possible due to her ill health. The famous footage of her collapse shows her being held up by aides and Secret Service agents before losing her footing altogether and falling whilst getting into a waiting car. Following the collapse, she was taken to her daughter Chelsea's apartment to recover, and her official team stated that she was actually suffering from pneumonia, which caused the fall. In typical fashion, Trump also pounced on this footage, using it as proof that she wasn't physically fit enough to be a president, much as he is doing in the 2020 campaign, referring to 78-year-old Joe Biden as Sleepy Joe.
Good meme, to be fair.
It is. It's a good tactic.
That's one thing he's really good at. No matter what you think about him, he knows how to nickname his opponent in derogatory ways.
It's
a bit rich as well, isn't it, coming from him?
It's just so bad that it's funny and a good roast at the same time, just because it takes off as well. You've just got all these dodgy names getting spread around the country.
Like crazy Bernie Sanders.
It's just so bad.
Okay, so somewhat surprisingly, soon after the fall, Clinton was seen waving to reporters as she left her daughter's home, insisting she felt absolutely fine and healthy. It also has emerged that Clinton's team deliberately avoided taking Hillary to hospital in order to conceal details of her medical treatment. According to the New York Post, Clinton was heading to hospital following the collapse, but then detoured to her daughter's house instead. This new route was designed so that Clinton wouldn't be seen by medical workers who could leak any details to reporters. Naturally, it was only a matter of time before conspiracy theorists began to speculate that Clinton's fast recovery was actually due to the use of a body double. The world's media was quick to react, and the hashtag Clinton's body double even began trending on Twitter.
This is 2016, right?
This was 2016, yeah, so just before the election that she was running as part of.
I mean, they cloned Dolly the sheep in 1996, so I've got no doubt that it's humanely possible to do.
Exactly. We don't really know the logistics behind it, whether you could instantly age them 68 years, but I don't know.
The clones in Star Wars were predicted at growth accelerants, so...
Even then, didn't they only grow like four times quicker than normal, or the first ones did, which is a bit shit,
much.
I think.
Did poach all the Nazi scientists as well from World War II, so got that on
true
my
side. True that, no, she's probably got twins in it.
I was about to say that, evil Hillary Clinton.
Check out our World War II episode if you want to hear a bit more about on that twins conspiracy theory. Okay, so social media and the press highlighted the fact that Clinton was looking too good in the later appearances despite being ill with pneumonia, recently needing her team to hold her up, as well as eventually falling over. Others commented that she was being pictured without Secret Service agents and even appeared thinner in some shots. The former point is relevant because the claims allege that a body double is not deemed worthy of Security Service protection, unlike Hillary herself. One image places two images of Hillary side by side on the same day, and there are some quite striking differences. Her jacket fits differently, and the buttons differ. Her stomach appears smaller and flatter in one picture, her cheekbones are more defined and longer, and her neck appears far less lined and younger in one of the images. This new appearance didn't go unnoticed. Yeah, there's two photos.
Could just be
on the same day.
Airbrushed.
Potentially, they look like paparazzi pictures, but...
Also, it's basically the Hillary Clinton glow-up conspiracy.
She's going for the front page of Vogue.
She's got a new makeup team, and they're really putting all the stops to keep the job.
In about an hour and a half, these changes happen, so it's pretty quick turnaround. Pretty quick Photoshop. This new appearance didn't go unnoticed, with one Twitter user quoting, "In 90 minutes, Hillary lost 50 pounds, got 10 years younger, and lengthened her fingers." Now, as part of this theory, there's speculation that Hillary uses a body double known as Teresa Barnwell, who is an actress that bears a striking resemblance to Clinton. She's allegedly paid $10,000 a month for the gig, but there's no evidence really to suggest this is the case, other than her looking, like, insanely like her. I'm not really sure whether somebody has literally just seen this actress, realised she looked a lot like Hillary Clinton, and has then just plucked 10 grand a month out of it. I don't know. I don't know whether there's more to it than that. I couldn't find any more to it than that.
I mean, it's got to be a pretty high going rate to be body doubling for Hillary Clinton, assuming you have to do public engagements and everything, give her speeches. Quite a daunting task.
Yeah, $120,000 a year.
That seems quite low.
It does seem quite low. Many people noticed as well something dropped near or from Clinton's trouser leg in video. And no, I'm not talking about a Michelle Obama-esque conspiracy theory. So yeah, this dropped before she was helped into the waiting car, and it looked kind of electronic and suspiciously like batteries, with some people questioning if it was health related, while others suggesting it's the batteries as she's a robot.
You think just give her a speech and her battery's done.
Yeah. A life-size working cyborg clone of Hillary Clinton, you'd find a better power source than that AA battery.
Yeah. So, in August, a photo of a Secret Service agent standing beside Hillary Clinton holding an unidentifiable cylindrical object sent the internet into a spin. It's alleged that the agent was holding an auto-injector containing diazepam, a muscle-relaxant drug used to treat seizures and anxiety. However, a Secret Service spokeswoman has since claimed it was actually a torch. Don't know why you need a torch in the daytime. That's probably more likely than the other suggestion.
Got to be prepared for all scenarios.
Exactly. So during the televised presidential debates, Trump fans leapt on the theory that Clinton was actually wearing an earpiece during a televised showdown between the candidates, as Clinton's left ear appeared to have a plastic device in it, with Donald Jr. himself even sharing a story implying Clinton was being fed answers through an earpiece. Now, I suppose the main angle they were coming at it regarding this earpiece was that it was just Hillary Clinton herself being fed answers. But I think the other angle that some people are coming at it from is implying that it was actually a stand-in or a double that probably didn't have a speech and stuff ready because Clinton would have written it. So she needed to be fed these answers and lines to say.
So just on that topic, I mean, Biden recently has been accused of using teleprompters during interviews. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility whether it would be Hillary or this double having something in their ear at all times.
Yeah, exactly. So as you touched on, the exact same allegations have been made regarding Joe Biden. So it could be the case that doubles are used for these events due to ill health or maybe some other reasons, and that they're fed lines for such TV appearances. Or maybe it's just the case that the real people sometimes mess up the lines. We've seen that quite a lot with Joe Biden, yeah. Kind of stumbling over his words. Yeah. Can't remember.
He said he was running for Senate rather than for president.
They must have to remember speeches. Like,
I mean, yeah, it's not easy, but equally, you are trying to be the president of the US. You should be capable of being able to put together a half-decent speech.
Discus rumours that Joe Biden has cyborg eyes so he can take naps mid-speech.
When he's 78.
He's got tattoos on his eyelids.
He's mastered sleep talking.
Okay, so in reality, body doubles are not that uncommon in the celebrity world, but they're normally used to distract paparazzi or to perform dangerous stunts, not to stand in during public events, especially ones as high profile as a presidential debate. So that kind of rounds up this theory, really. Was Hillary Clinton using body doubles, do you reckon? Was she using a clone, maybe even a cyborg? Or do you just think she just had a decent makeup artist or whatever, and her appearance just changed due to camera lighting, and the earpiece was just a hearing aid?
The people making these accusations have gone to some lengths to be examining the lengths of her fingers.
I know, I thought
that's a bit of an odd place of focus. There must be something drastically different between them. Like, you can't, I don't know, can camera tricks perspective make your fingers appear noticeably longer? Maybe she's mid-witch transformation, the moon's aligned. That's why she needed a torch. But in all seriousness, there are varying degrees of plausibility to this. I think the body double one isn't out of the realms of possibility, which unfortunately claims that you're a cyborg is pushing it a little bit too far. But you never know with a deep state, I suppose. It was quite an interesting one. So you think the amount of publicity the American elections get, I'd never heard very much about cyborg Hillary. I think I'd heard allegations around just surrounding the fall, but they were able to brush over it quite a lot with the pneumonia, and many people just said, okay, fine, let's move on. She had pneumonia, very stressful, running for president, got all these engagements. I also saw something might have been heat stroke as well, so trying to get enough stories out there to get sympathy, I guess. But like I said, the earpiece one, regardless of cyborg or body double, it's also a bit of a sneaky one. I wouldn't put it past someone in it, because there's a lot of allegations that many of the TV debates are all scripted as well. So feeding some answers is definitely not beyond or outside the realms of possibility.
Can you imagine if those early Trump and Hillary ones were scripted, meeting up before to try and script that? It's like, yeah, Hillary's about to say something. Trump, if you could just stand right behind her and pull faces.
I forgot about that. That was so funny. Ultimate intimidation. question. He's a big guy, Trump.
He is. He's like 6'3".
A very odd posture as well if you see him from a side view.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to script those. Like, you have to have some of the best writers and rely on them both and absolutely nailing their lines with perfect comedic timing. Couldn't get that with Sleepy Joe.
No, not.
But for the rating, I think as a conspiracy, again, I really enjoy this one. I do like from the more seriously outlandish, it just shows how broad conspiracies can be. And no doubt there are some people who absolutely believe that Hillary is a cyborg. It still is to this day. They even managed to replicate the aging process. And even now, she looks very different to how she appeared on stage and throughout the run of the presidential election. So I'm going to give this one, I'll give it a solid 8.5. I really liked it. I suppose, as you could expect, believability might take slightly more of a dip.
What?
I don't want to go and give a believability for every possibility because you floated several, but there's probably a sliding scale from whether it's maybe a body double was used just for appearances where she didn't have to say much. But obviously, cyborg Hillary is highly almost a definite impossibility, even if her batteries might have fallen out mid-speech.
Yeah, I thought those Duracells would be enough.
But he did, though, something fall, you see something fall out, he just goes into power down mode. That would be so freaky.
Well, she did fall over as soon as they fell out of the
Okay, there we go. I've changed my mind now. It's a 10 for believability. In all seriousness, I'm going to go for maybe a slightly generous 4 just based on the body double one has got more of a logical belief behind it.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Luke, what do you reckon?
Well, I mean, I'm not too sure a 4 is fair enough, but it's definitely a fantastic conspiracy. It's funny and to some extent is some believability and it's got some evidence to it. So it's a really good one. And just for the scale of it as well, being part of such a big event, I'm going to score it an 8 out of 10. In terms of believability, I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility. Like John mentioned, celebrities have used body doubles to avoid paparazzi or whatever. I think that can go potentially somewhere to explaining why she might look different in different photos. I think as well, depending on who produced the photo, they will airbrush it. They will add makeup, you know, change facial features, especially if it's her own kind of campaign. You can imagine, like, in the UK, I don't even know which paper's which, but, like, for example, if one paper's very pro-Boris Johnson, they might make him look kind of fitness and all that shit. And if one's very anti-Boris Johnson, you know, they're going to make him look as ugly as they probably can.
Bangles.
Yeah, I think they can maybe explain differences in photos. I did have a look at Theresa Barnwell. God, she does look like her a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a possibility you would literally have to be a perfect doppelganger for it to work and go unnoticed. But I mean, she looks like a Hillary doppelganger, so you never know. But yeah, I think it's not particularly believable. I wouldn't put the earpiece. I think that's quite believable. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, she just couldn't be arsed and someone on her teeth. Because I feel like a lot of the time, like the presidents, someone else is just writing their scripts and someone who's good at PR and stuff like that. Trump's seem pretty organic because they just seem raw. Maybe you should have someone in PR writing his script. But I wouldn't be surprised because Hillary wants to present herself well. She's against a guy who's just so, you know, out the box that when she replies to him, she probably wants a decent reply because when he just throws some crap at her, I mean, maybe someone backstage with some quick thinking can help her out. But yeah, I mean, the fact she's a cyborg and a body double, I'm going to go for a 2 out of 10.
Boo indeed. No, but I think I will echo the thoughts of you two. I think I do find it suspicious if you see those two pictures of her side by side, sort of an hour and a half apart. There are some quite striking differences. She looks a hell of a lot healthier, and I didn't actually pay attention to the length of her fingers, but that seems like something you couldn't change in an hour and a half. So I think the body double thing is probably quite likely. In events like that, you know, she's trying to put on a facade of being healthier than she is or whatever. As for the rest of it, I mean, some batteries did fall out of her pocket and she did immediately collapse. That's probably about as far as the proof goes on that one. And then the earpiece, perhaps. I think it's definitely unlikely. So, yeah, overall theory, I found it funny to just research. And there was some quite good information on it, I thought, in the end. So I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10 for the conspiracy. Believability-wise, like you touched on, I think the earpieces is probably almost certain that they have these earpieces just in case they forget what they want to say or they hear some new news come through that might swing the debate and they can get it straight away fed to them through the earpiece. So, and I think the body double bit is also quite likely that they'd be used, maybe not for a speech or a public appearance, but
yeah, because if that got out, they use a body double for a speech, you'd lose all credibility.
Yeah, you just lose the election, wouldn't you? Yeah, it's a risk. Perhaps a risk worth taking if you're on death's door, but other than that, it probably isn't worth it. And then the cyborg and clone stuff, like we say, she might have some German ancestry, but other than that, I think this it's quite loose to try and make that claim. So believability, I'll go generous as well, and I'll go for a 4 out of 10. Right, am I handing over now to Callum for a little game of conspiracy?
You are indeed. We've just about got enough time to sneak one in there at the end, as we do like to round out the podcast with a game. With our our trademark game, the format's been done in various different names on various different podcasts and things, but we've sort of took this one and applied a conspiracy twist to it. So the host, which is me, finds two conspiracies on the internet and makes up one themselves based around the topic of the podcast, this time being the US elections. And it's down to my co-host to root out the conspiracy, which is the one that I've made up. Should we jump in?
Let's get in.
Do it.
Right, so kicking off, number one, the deep state wants to possess the next US president with Osiris. For those who don't know, Osiris is one of the ancient Egyptian gods.
And a bloody good car on GTA 5.
Absolute goat car. Number two, Hillary Clinton was on steroids for the majority of the 2016 election campaign.
Ties in some way with John's, actually.
It does.
Explains the big muscle gains as well. In the 1.5 hour difference between the photos.
Yeah.
Number three, the French actually control US politics.
Throwback to 1776.
You said the Swiss, and that'd be definitely true. Okay, do you want to elaborate on
that? I mean, I've got one already that, I mean, it's throwing me off. One that I've definitely got in my mind, but I want to hear some more info.
Wait, any in particular, so I start, or just go through from 1 to 3?
Just go through.
1 to 3.
Right, so the first one, which is the ancient Egyptian-based one, there is a lot of ancient Egyptian symbolism across Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is also the home of the House of the Temple, basically the HQ for the Freemasons. So in this House of the Temple, there are Masons who perform the raising of Osiris ritual during a presidential inauguration in hopes that one day Osiris will take over the body of the new president and become the Antichrist of the world that will lead the way to a Novus Ordo Seclorum, or New World Order.
One thing I will say about this is I know from going to pub quizzes with Callum, he's a big mythology fan and it's close to his heart. So
he is.
I wouldn't surprise him if he's made this one up.
Yeah. Had one blinding round of Greek gods and it's stuck ever since. Surprised even myself.
On that one, do you say they're just kind of hoping it happens?
Well, they're performing a ritual, be it satanic, masonic, etc., Egyptian, to try and usher in a new world order, which is basically what everyone believes the aim of deep state is, to one world government. And they believe that new president becomes Osiris, that'll speed things up a bit, I guess.
I've never heard it linked to the Egyptian gods before, but then I've never looked too much into it.
Why have they waited till now?
Apparently they do it every presidential inauguration, just hasn't really worked yet.
Fair play.
Next one.
So, number two, of course, a little bit of crossover with John's, with Hillary Clinton on steroids. So essentially this rumour was started by, I think President Trump definitely referenced this along the campaign trail, but it was after Hillary's tumble at the 9/11 memorial, which was passed off as pneumonia, heat stroke, etc., leading to Trump saying in the debates that Hillary doesn't have the stamina to be president, falling over after having to stand still for a bit. Not very presidential. We've seen Trump use a steroid argument for us with Biden, thinking that he's on some performance-enhancing drugs to get him through his speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that is also all there is to it, pretty much, is what it says on the tin. Hillary's on steroids, and they use that to make sure that she appeared fit and healthy for the remainder of the campaign, so Trump didn't have any more ammunition to use against her, because if he fell out, collapsed again, or forgot her words badly, just appeared weak and frail, that's it, Trump won, basically.
What about the pesky French then?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, 1776, in the battle for independence, the French did play a big role in the economic and militaristic fortunes of the Americans. And that's certain level of influence has continued throughout years. Many influential figures, like including Napoleon himself, being heavily involved in American politics. Take a slight left turn with the individuals I'm about to reference for who are allegedly controlling this most recent president, President Trump. So have any of you heard of the Bogdanov twins?
Nope.
No.
Well, there are many things that have been said about these two, such as the Rothschilds are said to bow to them in front of their 215+ IQ levels. They control many of the world's gold reserves, major banks, and their reach has extended to President Trump, and he is their puppet to steer the US in a way that basically wants to try and gain world dominance.
Is this a Trump thing then, or a historic thing? Has this always been the case?
I say the French have always exerted some influence in American politics, and the Bogdanovs have decided to capitalise with Trump, seeing him as a bit of a useful idiot. But unfortunately, Trump has gone rogue, so it forced the Bogdanovs to release the coronavirus. They wanted to dispose of their agent and ensure he doesn't get re-elected again and try again with Joe Biden.
Right, because John usually gets scared and doesn't want to go the same as me. I'll let him pick first this time.
It's really, really tough this week, so I am struggling. I do feel like I've heard one of them before, but I've not seen it. It's always
you say every podcast, I usually start just to say the line, not revealing which one it is now.
I mean, I think the first one's the con.
The first one? Right.
Yeah.
I'm doing this all off the fly because I lost my notes.
I was edging towards the first one as well, just because not really heard the link between Egyptian gods and the Freemasons and the deep state and all that, so I was a bit surprised about that. And I know it's something that you do have some interest in, maybe. I don't actually know what you do, but I'll let John have that one. The Hillary Clinton one on steroids, it seems that will definitely be out there, but at the same time I also find it a little bit weird that John didn't pick up on that for his theory, because I feel like that would have been very involved and he'd have seen something about that. But then again, maybe that's the one that he is believing he's seen before because he saw it when he was researching. The French one, it's a weird one because, I mean, obviously they helped out massively in 1776 and didn't really get much out of it in the end, which was a bit rough. I mean, you went into a lot of detail about these Bogdanov twins. I mean, it sounds Russian to me, so I'm going to go with that one for the conspiracy, that reason alone. European son.
They are French citizens. They are real people. I might change my mind, might not. It's lock it in.
It's just a lot of detail on it, and these guys who I've never heard of, and I'm not convinced you'd have heard of unless you'd have found this conspiracy. But I'm going to go for it anyway. I'm going to go for the French one.
Right, then. I can say that conspiracy has fooled one of you, and one of you has correctly identified the conspiracy. And this week, Luke has done well to trust his gut. The Bogdanov twins are a hoax.
Are they real people?
Because they have a very distinct appearance, I'll say this. And they are subject of a massive meme to do with, like, cryptocurrency and other such online things across Reddit.
So who are they?
Started off as French TV presenters and presenting science-based programs, perhaps even some conspiracies. And I don't know how they got caught on as a meme, but they've got their faces have a very distinct appearance, which might have been accelerated with plastic surgery. So they're basically unrecognizable from how they originally started out to look. But there's one iconic photo of them with them holding a phone. It's basically implying that they have the control over everything. So
I can just picture on a French version of this podcast them coming up with conspiracies where John Tickle's running the world.
But yeah, they are the subject of many memes. I just thought I'd try and compile a load of conspiracies, throw it to the wall, and hope that it's taken so many different elements. It's got to be true. Someone out there believes it. But a couple more fun facts, just because I've got the page up. The Bogdanovs will apparently bankroll the first cities on Mars, with Bogdanograd being the first city.
Oh, God.
They own nanobot research and development labs across the world, and you likely have Bogdabots inside you right now. At this point, the Bogdanovs are in regular communication with the archangels Michael and Gabriel, forwarding the word of God to the Orthodox Church.
So is this purely a meme, or do people...
I don't know if people believe them because of the meme or not, but people have thought they might be aliens, looking at their appearance. Well, we haven't seen them yet. You're in for a treat, I think. And I'll leave it with that little bombshell there, and we'll wrap up the podcast. It was a good game of conspiracy, some good, interesting guesses. Unfortunately, John can't trust his guts, despite listening to it every single time. I think he's just completely disregard if he thinks he's heard it before. Obviously, that's a signal of this is the absolute wrong answer.
I think I've got a worse record than if you just went like A every time.
But yes, that wraps up our US presidential election conspiracies episode. We apologise, it's been a bit of a delay between episodes. We've been quite consistent with our uploads up until now, but sometimes just life does get in the way. But we do want to go for, as we said at the start, quality over quantity. And we believe this is a very high quality episode and very topical. So, that's all from us. Goodbye, and keep challenging the status quo.